Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. What's on your mind today? You know, you can call us and ask us any legal question on any legal subject. This is a law talk show. We talk law. We're injury attorneys in our day lives, in our radio lives right here. We're here for you. Any subject, 303-713-8255, 713-8255. And welcome Steamboat Springs, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins. The telephone number in the mountains is 970-457-1009. That's 457-1009. Don't forget about our website, championsofthepeople.com. You go there. There's a button you can click on. It gives you, what are you going to do with the first phone conversation that you have with the adjuster after the accident? Do you know what to do? Do you know what to say? Do you know what papers you can sign, and should not sign? All you got to do is go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's free. There's another button you can click on there. On championsofthepeople.com, you can click on car prevention advice. What do you do before? What do you do right now? What do you do? How do you rewrite the at-fault person's insurance policy in your favor, a person you don't even know? How do you rewrite their policy to benefit you right now, today, in the next hour? Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It will tell you. You click on that button, car accident prevention. And if you want one of our free books, we have books out. We got a new one coming out. We just published a book on workers' compensation. It has all the traps. It identifies the traps and tricks of the system. It's the definitive guide in Colorado on workers' compensation law. Our other books, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. And the other book that you can get, a free book, they're all free. You can get a hard copy if you call Kevin right here at the studio, 303-713-8255. And our other book entitled Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. Really? They are cowards. They're absolute cowards. They hit people. They flee. They run. They run. And so and it tells you what to do. It talks about all the law about crosswalks, comparative negligence. But more importantly, the last half of that book gives you narrative and picture examples, very easy to follow, step-by-step procedures on what kind of insurance you need to buy to protect yourself from an uninsured motorist and or a hit and run. You know, Brad, we are doing a series now called Back to the Basics. And yesterday we did a show talking about, you know, the accident. You got basically liability and damages. But let's just give a brief synopsis of what we covered yesterday as far as, you know, liability and what do you do.
It'd be a good idea for people to listen to that show. You want to be prepared for an accident. And part of preparation for an accident, believe it or not, is just knowing what you need to do and what you would do, how you want to address the issue. We've gone back to the basics because so many times we still face situations where people aren't doing some of the basic things they need to do to protect their rights. And one of the things you need to do is you need to get the police involved. You need to call the police unless you're on some kind of accident alert where they're saying don't call in, don't contact us and just do a counter report and exchange information. Call the police. And, you know, there's very few places that if you've been in an accident are going to say you're in trouble for not showing up on time. You can give them a call and explain I've been in an accident, trying to get the information. It's so important because, you know, as we pointed out before in our shows, you face a situation quite often in this business or in an accident where you really don't know the nature and extent of your injuries till days or even weeks after or even months after your accident. And sometimes you don't even know you're hurt until the next day or until a couple days down the road. That's when you start feeling the numbness in your hand and your fingers. And that's when you start feeling the pain that's radiating down into your leg, into your foot. And you start and you're going, my gosh, I exchanged information, but I didn't call the police. And so the next thing you know, that person who ran into you is denying that they ran into you, or they're denying they did something wrong.
You know, another thing we talked about on the show, it's going to air tomorrow morning at 7:30 on a number of stations. You can go to our website and see what those stations are. But it's going to air. And another thing we talked about was don't ever let anybody talk you out of calling the police. Don't ever let them do this. You know, they always say, we have people come in us and say, well, the person said, "Here's we're going to exchange insurance information, and we don't need to call the police." And then later, Later, the person who said, well, I'm sorry, it was my fault at the scene, their insurance company and the insurance company lawyers, and they saying I wasn't. No, you took the right-of-way away from me. And so it's important that you call the police, period. You have to. And we also went over tips on how you do, how you document the scene. Now, the first thing you need to do is worry about yourself. If you need an ambulance, then off you go. But if you don't, and don't let any insurance company tell you, well, you told the police that the scene of the accident, that they said, are you okay? And you said, I think I'm okay. I don't think I'm injured. So they're not going to call an ambulance. That doesn't mean you lose. That's just what they try to convince you of. Many people, as Brad just said, the adrenaline's flowing. You're having a hard time. It's dazed, confused. You just got whacked. Boom. You got hit. And you don't feel it. And we have people tell us all that. I didn't feel it till that night. I didn't feel it till the next morning. I could almost hardly get out of bed. So just because you tell the police, I think I feel okay, that doesn't mean you lose.
That's exactly right. You know, anybody who has an understanding of these type cases and these type situations understand that you can have delayed symptoms over what's happened to you and what the results are of the accident. You just have to be able to document the accident, document what happened, being able to identify what happened in the accident and why you were hurt. And you have to be able to stand up to the adjuster. That's why we offer the legal game plans we do. That's why we try and talk to people. Each game plan is unique. Each legal plan that you want to carry out and how you want to carry out your case is unique. And you need to talk to a lawyer to talk about what's happening.
You know, we've used our years of experience, over 30 years now, helping people put their lives back together again. We've used our years of experience to develop, and we have developed, a legal game plan. And if you come to see us for free initial consultation, you also get a legal game plan. And so, I mean, if you were hit by a texting driver, different legal game plan. A drunk driver, different legal game plan. If you needed surgery, different legal game plan. And on. It is tailored to your case, your needs, your accident, your situation, your injuries, and how do you navigate this insurance maze? And so that's what we do, Brad. And we've been promoting this legal game plan, and it works. And people understand their rights. They understand what they need to do. And we even put part of it on the on our website, championsofthepeople.com.
Well, it's like we had a recent speaker, and we were talking about the fact that you can hit your head. Sometimes you don't even have to hit your head. You can just have a sudden movement in your head that's going to cause a brain injury. It's going to cause a traumatic brain injury that you may not even recognize you have for literally months after the accident. It's terrible when we have people come into us and they say, I had this accident, and they're coming to us 3-6 months later because the adjuster hasn't been fair to them. The other side hasn't really even reported the accident. The adjuster says, well, I can't talk to you until my own insured reports the accident. Then they tell you, well, where am I going to talk to you? And by the way, my insured says you ran into them, or that you did this wrong, you did that wrong. And you're sitting there saying, I don't have any way to prove this. You know, I got in the accident and, it happened, and I got up and we changed some information and I left. Somebody else took me to the doctor later on and I thought I was all right. And now I'm finding I'm not, and they want their case pursued. Well, we'll pursue it. We'll work for them. We'll do the job. We'll do the best job possible out there. But the problem you have is that they can't reconstruct it.
Right, they can't reconstruct it, and so you always call the police. And after the break, we got a break coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about accident alert. But, you know, it's a concussion syndrome. It's a post-concussion syndrome. Concussions are big in the news right now, and so you need to pay attention to this. Concussions, symptoms can and do appear over time. If you have a broken arm, it's an acute injury, pain, and problems right there, right at the scene, right in the emergency room. But concussion symptoms can appear over time. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are your champions of the people. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're talking law. This is not a political show. It's a law talk show. We are accident and injury attorneys in our day lives and our radio lives right here in this show. We're here for you. 303-713-8255, 713-8255 in the mountains, 970-457-1009. And by the way, the following our show is the Consumer Real Estate Show, Barry and Larry. And you want to listen to that. I'm working with Barry right now on a matter. Very professional, very knowledgeable, very experienced. So you want to listen to their show and give them a call if you've got a real estate question. Okay, we're still talking about accidents this morning, but you can call us on any subject. Any subject. We'll answer your questions. We'll solve your problems. 303-713-8255. So, Brad, let's talk about accident alert a second. Everybody says, well, you know, it's a good time to do it right now, but everybody says, well, they say the police can't come. Don't call the police. And so you have an accident. So even if you aren't injured or you think you are injured, if you are injured, you need to call the police anyway. But there's also other things you can do. You've got to make documentation. You've got to document the best you can. If there's not going to be any police there, you know, are there witnesses there? You got a camera in your phone. You got to take pictures. Listen to our show. What's somebody do on accident alert here?
Well, Gary, we've got a packet that we give out. We give it to people. We just give away. If anybody wants a packet, they can give us a call.
And it goes in your glove box.
It goes in your glove box. It's a packet you can hold. You can hold your license and your registration and your documents in. It's also a packet you can. When you get in there, it's got different little dividers to talk about different things you want to do in the event of an accident. You want to review. The first thing you really need to do is you need to document the accident. You need to document how it happened, when it happened, where it happened, on the street. Take pictures of the damage to the vehicles from every angle you can think of. Take pictures of where the accident happened on the street. Look a lot for where things broke and where it is on the pavement and on the street where the glass is and what's happened. If there's witnesses, you want to try and find out who the witnesses are. You want to, as you've stated many times, Gary, take a picture of the license plate of the other driver, because when they're going to be leaving, you're going to get their registration, you're going to get their driver's license, you're going to get the information off the registration or driver's license, and you're going to get their insurance card. But how many times, Gary, have we had people that, when we've been involved in trying to collect for our clients, that insurance card's no good?
Yeah, they say, here's my insurance card, and then you find out, it expired, and then you call the insurance company, and they say there's no such policy, or it expired 2 months ago, or they didn't pay their premium. And then what do you do? Where do you go? What do you do when the rain sets in? Okay, so you got to go to your UM/UIM, and that's in our book, Cowards of the Street, and we preach it all the time, how you rewrite the other person's insurance policy. But I want to talk about this accident alert again. You know, I met with a lady this week. She said she listened to us. She was in an accident. It was accident alert, and the police weren't called, but she did an incredible job. I mean, she took pictures of the license plates of the other car, pictures of the debris on the street, pictures of the surrounding areas, pictures of the street, picture of the driver, picture on her cell phone camera of the other person's driver's license, and she took a recorded statement from the driver that said, I'm sorry, I'm at fault. She just recorded it on her phone. Followed our advice right to the T. So she's going to have a good, fair, legitimate right chance with regard to the insurance company. So if you're on accident alert, and I tell you what, if you got a drunk driver, Brad, let's talk about a drunk driver that's on, you're on accident alert, you think this person's impaired by alcohol, you think they're impaired by prescription drugs, you think they're impaired for whatever reason, you think they're impaired by marijuana, you call the police, you be persistent, you tell them, I've been hit and I think this person's been drinking, I think they're impaired.
Well, sure, don't you dare let a drunk driver go out on the road. I don't care if it's as a result of an accident, if you're sitting at home with them, if you're sitting in the bar with them, if you're sitting at the party with them, don't let a drunk driver on the road. And what we're talking about in that kind of situation is really, if you think somebody's under the influence of alcohol or drugs and when you're dealing with them, call the police, even if they drive off. It's like you said, Gary, you know, a lot of times you're not trying to stop them. You don't want to get in front of the car.
No, you don't want to get into a physical altercation. That's not good.
Don't get run over, but just stop the driving. I mean, stop them right there by calling the police as soon as the police get there. And if you think they're under the influence, you think they've been intoxicated, say that to the person you're calling.
Say it. Tell them.
911. Say
exactly.
This person under the influence, you got to get out here now to do something, because you've got terrible situations there. You know, why let them go down the road and hurt somebody else?
Well, number one. Number two, you're not going to let them get away with this, because you're not going to let them get away with this. Now, if the police just won't come, they won't come. Maybe there's witnesses. Maybe you have witnesses. But you've got to be able to document in whatever way you can when accident alert if the police are not going to come. You know, and if it's a serious injury case or a serious drunk driver, you've got to beg them. You've got to tell them, and at least you're telling them. At least you're telling. You're not just reporting an accident. You say, I think I got a drunk driver here or an impaired driver, and they hit me, they caused an accident. This happened, that happened, and that's how you do it. But if they want, if they're not going to come, you need to document it the best that you can.
But let's say you're in an accident. You've had a. And as a result of the accident, while you're talking to him, you're feeling a headache, or you're feeling a little dizzy, you're feeling a little anxiety, you're feeling a little irritable. These are all symptoms of a post-traumatic concussion. That's what it is. It's a concussion that you've just had. These lead to traumatic brain injuries. You have those. When people are saying, how are you? And you're saying, oh, I'm okay, because you're expecting to have a headache. You're expecting some of these problems, so you don't think there's anything wrong with you. So you're exchanging information rather than getting the police involved when, in essence, you do have an injury. And, you know, every time, even on accident alert, police will say, if nobody's hurt,
right,
exchange information. They don't say, if you're hurt, just ignore it and go to the hospital. They say, if nobody's hurt. If you're hurt, you're supposed to call the police.
You got to follow the protocol, call the police. We're going to talk a lot with Steve right now. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about collecting my previous tenant moved out or actually got taken to jail. And then they owe me some money.
Okay.
And it's not that much. It's about $1,200 or something. But is it worthwhile to look into it, or too expensive?
No, no. Where are you located? What county?
Denver.
Okay. Have you ever been to small claims court?
Oh, sure.
Okay. You need to get a judgment against this person for a small claims court. You know, you can make
it. Yeah. But first, I got to locate him because somewhere he's in a northern part of Denver, or maybe further out toward Greeley or Fort Collins somewhere.
Well, he's in jail or not in jail? I thought you said he went
no,
to jail.
No, no, not in jail. He was out of it.
Oh.
In a couple of days, I believe, or I heard from his girlfriend.
Okay. Do you have any information such as a Social Security or a date of birth or last known address? But you have all that information?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Oh, he can be found. He can be found easily.
Well, I'm sure, but this is worthwhile.
Well, I think normally the investigators we have to just run a search and find a current address on the person maybe it'll cost you $100. That's something you can add on to the damages. So, and when you took the information from him, when he started leasing, you did get his place to where he works, and you had that information?
Yeah, but even when they lived there, they said that they changed job, and so he's kind of moving around type person.
Okay, and there, you bring up something that's very important to consider, and actually you can tell you've been around the block, so to speak, before.
Yeah,
because what you're dealing with when you're dealing with that, Steve, is your judgment going to be collectible? If you go get the judgment,
right,
you're going to spend probably to find him and to serve him and to go to court, you're going to spend a couple $100. He owes you $1,200. You're going to spend a couple hundred, so you're going to be at $1,400, $1,500. You're going to be seeking recovery.
Right.
Chances are if you serve him, he's not going to show up, so you may get a default judgment. And then you've got to find his assets, and that's going to be another couple $100 to find his assets. So now your $1,200, you've got maybe $14, $15, $16. You may have another $500 to chase the $1,200.
Yeah, but I think he don't have any assets, so to speak.
And if he doesn't have any assets, he's irresponsible. When they moved, they took all their assets with them, obviously.
Well, I don't want their junk furniture, you know.
Did they give?
To throw it out.
Did they give you a new location where they had moved to?
No.
So, you don't have a forwarding address, and you said you talked to his girlfriend?
Yeah.
And
well, she was hanging around for, I took him, I filed eviction and all that, so he didn't respond too much. And then she was kind of able to help anything. She just... And she moved back to home somewhere out of the...
Well, one thing that you can do is you can... the statute, it's in Volume 12 of the Colorado Revised Statutes, but the statute basically says that you have to serve the person It used to be a little bit more flexible where you could send it by mail. You can have the clerk send it by certified mail now, but if that doesn't work, then you have to have a process server serve it, and they have to be served, I think, at least 15 days before any trial date. But
right. Yeah. Oh, I know all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you still...
Finding out, and it's almost... I just kind of try to ensure myself if it doesn't work, but I don't think he's... able to pay, you know, well, keep tracking down when he changed job. It's almost impossible.
Do you still have your eviction proceeding going on?
No.
Okay.
It's all done.
All right. And with respect to, because a lot of times you get the judgment right in the eviction proceeding if you file for an eviction. But, you know, and have you taken care of the deposit? Or have you given notice under
Yeah, that's why it doesn't.
I think you're down to suing him in small claims court, getting a judgment, and then just going to collect. I mean, the judgment's good for a long time.
We can have an attorney call you at this week and go over it with you if you want us to.
Sure.
All right, Steve, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information. We'll be glad to answer any questions off the air this week and see if we can help you further. But you sound pretty knowledgeable, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. I call you. You know, listen to the show all the time.
All right.
And I've been in the business for a while.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your call. Put you on hold. So you're listening to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We're located in Greenwood Village, office in Denver, office in Steamboat Springs, real brick and mortar offices, ready to go for you. We are accident and injury attorneys here to help you. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Pull up your legal chair, get your legal coffee, your legal bagel. We're ready to go. We're Talk Law. This is a law talk show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We are accident and injury attorneys, but we're here to help you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. And now join us live from Caitlin's Restaurant. Eric, what's cooking?
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good. What's going on?
Well, we got a couple of specials to run by for the week. Our breakfast special is going to be a pork chorizo breakfast burrito. That's going to come with two scrambled eggs, pork chorizo. We're going to wrap that in a flour tortilla. You can top that off with our scratch-made red or green chili. We're going to serve cheddar and jack mixed cheese over the top of that. That also comes with hash browns. That's going to be the breakfast burrito all week. And then we're going to do a carne asada enchilada. Say that 10 times fast. Carne asada enchilada. That comes on white corn tortillas. That comes with beans and rice. Once again, our scratch red or green chili. Gets lettuce, tomato, guac, and sour on the side. That's going to be for lunch all week. And guys, don't forget, Super Bowl is tomorrow. Big, big game going on tomorrow. You can come down anytime between now and 3 o'clock tomorrow, right up until game time. Get your Super Bowl party goodies. We've got green chili chicken enchiladas by the bulk. We've got red chili cheese enchiladas. You can get assorted quesadilla platters, assorted sandwich platters. So don't forget us. If you run last minute and something goes wrong, you can come down and grab your stuff. You can enjoy the party. And don't forget, it's all you can eat Monday and Friday. All you can eat Monday and Friday, 11 to 2, taco and burrito buffet. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And if that's not enough to get you down, I got $10 bottomless mimosas. So if that doesn't pull the trigger, I don't know what will. Come on down to Caitlin's, hang out with us. Have a good old time.
All right, Eric, you ready for Super Bowl? You ready for catering, right?
Absolutely, we are. And don't forget, we're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
Caitlin's Restaurant, you'll love it every bite of the way. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're here for you. Bell and Pollack, injury attorneys, ready to help you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. We don't care if it's a landlord-tenant, estate question, boundary question, survey question, deed problem. We're here to help you. We can do it. We've been doing it for years. So 303-713-8255. So, Brad, we were talking about accident alert. We're talking about how important it is to document the scene. If the police are not going to come, if they're not going to come, you need to find out if there's witnesses. Usually there are witnesses. Usually in bad weather, people are going, hopefully, pretty slow. They'll stop. You get their names. You take pictures of the license plates. You take pictures of the person's driver's license. You take a picture of them. Take a picture of their car, of the debris, the streets, the surrounding area. And as I said earlier at the top of the show, I met with a lady this week that followed our advice to a T, and she even recorded on her phone a statement by the person that said, you know, let's just exchange information. I was at fault. I'm sorry. And she's got that statement, and the insurance company can't later say, oh, no. No, we weren't at fault, and then you start the fight. You save yourself the fight.
Right, you know, and you got to get on it. Don't waste time. Don't wait. The thing that normally gets people on it and causes them to not waste time is the fact that they need to get their car taken care of. They've got a dent or they've got some kind of marking on their car, and they want to take care of it. Don't fall into this stuff, this trap that adjusters, insurance companies, defense lawyers want you to fall into of, oh, it was just a small impact. It didn't do much damage to the car, so you can't be hurt much. That's not true. That's not the way it works. You know, you've got to understand that we talk about the impact being enough of a couple of kids running into each other today with helmets on. We say that can cause a severe head injury. We say that a ball bouncing off somebody's head can cause a severe head injury, but yet we'll say that the 2,000-pound cars running into each other doesn't cause a head injury because, by gosh, you got the cars don't show much damage. Don't fall into that trap. Get on it. If you're experiencing problems, now I've talked about them just a minute ago, headaches, dizziness, fatigue, irritability, anxiety, insomnia, loss of concentration and memory. If you have any kind of noise or light sensitivity, any of those, you get to the doctor, get the adjuster on the phone for the car accident. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a whole lot when you call that adjuster and you start talking to him. We've talked before, Gary, and this is part of our Back to the Basics series about right. When you do get the adjuster, be careful what you say to him.
And if there's any question, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. There's an entire podcast there on what are you going to do and say and how's it going to be with the first call, the very first call either you make to the insurance adjuster for the at-fault party or they make to you. Usually they call you. They catch you a little bit of off guard. And let me ask you a question. When the property damage, there's two types of adjusters, property damage adjuster, PD adjuster with the at-fault insurance company, and the BI, the bodily injury adjuster. So the property damage adjuster calls you, understand there's been an accident, I want to talk to you about your car, want to help you get a rental car, et cetera, et cetera. But what in the world is the property damage adjuster doing saying, you're talking about your car, right? They're trained. Here's how they're trained. Listen to this. They say to you, well, were you hurt? What has that got to do with your car and repairing your car? Were you wearing your seatbelt? What part of your body was hurt? Did you hurt your neck? Have you ever had any neck problems before? Do you know what to do when these questions come at you? Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website, and it's getting better every day. We add new things to it, but we've got a button there that you can hit and listen to the podcast, our entire show, on what you're going to do when you talk to the insurance adjuster for the very first time. You know, Brad, and the other one we warn people about, they say, well, I can't adjust your claim. I can't understand your claim. I'm not going to be able to fairly compensate you unless you sign our forms, and I'll send you out a, quote, few forms, end quote, a few forms.
Don't you sign those releases. Don't sign those medical releases.
No.
You know, if you want to give the adjuster your medical records, get them for them, or if you want the adjuster to get the medical records, then you got to get those releases restricted. You've got to make it so they can't turn your information over to other sources, to other places. And don't play and don't fall victim to their games. I had a defense attorney just recently that I was talking to on the phone that was laughing it off, acting like it was funny that they don't do things. Why are you guys so paranoid on what we do with the records? What are you so paranoid about how the records are going to be handled? We don't do anything with the records. And my only response to this attorney was, then why won't you accept restrictions on the releases? Why do you want the records without any restrictions on what you can do for them if you're not going to do anything with them?
I can just imagine that answer. I already know the answer. Because they think it's no big deal until you're not going to do it for them and you're not going to give them the releases, then it becomes a big deal. Right now we're going to talk law with Sharon. Good morning, Sharon. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a very complex matter of 2 years. 2 years plus, to try to put, I can't put it succinctly, but suffice it to say that I have twice contacted the Colorado Legal Services because I'm an elderly person. I'm 78 years old, and I am on a fixed income. The first time I was told that they had only one staff attorney in the entire Denver metropolitan area providing assistance to those with housing issues and couldn't help me out. The second time I contacted them, which was January of this year, their statement to me was, then I advised you that due to our limited resources, we do not have enough attorneys to assist you in this case. Where do I turn for...
Well, Sharon, what's your issue, and maybe we can help you. We'll be glad to help you. What's your issue?
Tenant management issues.
Well, I'll tell you where you can turn. You want to know?
Yes, please.
You're talking to them right now.
Right here.
Wow.
Are they?
Oh my goodness.
Are your issues over? Is there a problem with the place you're living with or living in? Or
yes. Well, to my way of thinking, the initial issue, which I presented to Colorado Legal Services in December of 2013, has spilled over to the original current issue. And again, please bear with me. It's kind of hard for me to put this as briefly as I possibly can. In 2013, I was living in a beautiful two-bedroom handicapped accessible apartment in Arvada. I started to have problems I was there for 13 years. I started having problems in 2006 when I believed somebody had been in my apartment, and I started missing items. I reported this to management and to the police. Nothing was done. Then an unfortunate incident happened in which I believed I saw an insect on the sprinkler head, and I tapped it with a handy hanger, and that ruptured the sprinkler head. The management then wanted to charge me $5,000, or they were going to evict me if I didn't immediately pay them the $5,000. And I told them, no way could I pay $5,000. I could start making payments of maybe like $10 a month, something to that effect, which they were not happy with.
Well, Sharon, tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to give you some help this week. Sounds like you need help on a variety and a constellation of issues, and we'll be glad to do it, okay?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. We appreciate your call. So hang on and give Kevin your information, and we'll have an attorney call you this week. Is that okay?
I so appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for the call. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are accident and injury attorneys in our day lives, our radio lives. Guess what? We're right here for you, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. It's a law talk show. We're here for you. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. You can call us and ask us a question on any legal subject. And if you know somebody or if you've been injured on the job, you want a free copy of our book. It's Colorado Workers' Compensation Book, The Ultimate Guide. And you can get it, an ebook, on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can call Kevin right here, or you can call our law firm, and we'll send you a hard copy. We do it every week. And I tell you what, in there we've got all these tricks. Don't fall for them. Traps, don't get caught in them. And what you absolutely, absolutely need to know. And it's the definitive guide on workers' comp law. And the traps, we've had a couple of calls this week on these traps. How you get trapped into the system. How you lose your rights. How you lose your fair workers' compensation and pay and compensation. Now, also, we have a book out called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. Hit and Run, but it also applies to somebody that has no insurance, even though they don't leave the scene or flee the scene. But you need this book because the last half of the book points out to you the step-by-step procedures you can take right now, today, right now, to protect yourself before an accident happens, or if you're hit by hit and run, because there's not many places left to go. So, you know, Brad, let's talk about that. You're a pedestrian. You're downtown Denver. You're somewhere. You walk across the street. You know, you better be in the crosswalk, number one. But if you are and they hit you and leave, where do you go to recover for your damages, injuries, and losses?
Well, we're going to have to look inward. And when I say inward, we're going to have to look to see if you have a driver's license, if you have insurance, even though you weren't in your own car or you weren't in a car at all when you got hit. Yeah, your own insurance may take care of it if you have a car and you have insurance. If you're a member of a household that has insurance, you maybe have recovery under that as a member of that household. Those are places we're going to have to look, because obviously the person has left the scene. Chances of finding them are going to be very difficult. Sometimes there's some information that's going to allow you to track them down, but you're going to have to go to your own insurance at that point. So, once again, don't give up. Don't say there's nothing I can do. There are things you can do. But once again, also remember, you know, I was just looking at a case yesterday where I wanted to recover for a person for uninsured motorists, and the person had a very minimal policy. She's hurt very, very badly. She has a very minimal policy. She had waived her med pay. Don't waive that med pay. As a matter of fact, get it higher if you can. And if you can afford it at all, and protect yourself, get a higher amount of insurance if you can on the underinsured and uninsured motorist.
If you're a pedestrian, you're hit, you're not even in your car, you're walking, and the hit and run driver leaves, your own car insurance policy covers you. Your own car insurance policy covers you for your damages, injuries, and losses. That's where you go. That's why you want the limits as high as you can buy them. Do not waive them ever. Right now, we're going to talk to Nathan about small claims court. Good morning, Nathan. Welcome to Bell and Pollitt.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. What's up?
Well, hey, I've got a small claims court issue, and I've done the research, so I know kind of what I need to do. I'm an independent subcontractor, and the person that I did work for is refusing to pay. It's in the amount of $740. So I know it falls in the small claims arena, and I've done the research. I know I've got to fill out the paperwork this weekend and take it to the clerk and pay my money, all that stuff. My question is, how much information do I need to give to the judge or the magistrate in this case when I present my case so that I can be clear about what's needed, and then without getting... I just want to be prepared to be able to present my case without giving too much information, but be direct enough so that I give the proper information, you know, so that the magistrate sees my point of view.
All right, so you did this work at somebody's house or something?
No, I'm actually an independent insurance appraiser, and I provide a service to a company where I write estimates on damaged vehicles. And I did $740 worth of work for this particular person, and I haven't been paid.
And so they didn't want to pay you. So here's how you start. Number one, a great question, by the way, Nathan. Thank you very much. Number one, everybody should start in the situation by putting yourself in the judge's spot. Make yourself the judge in your mind. And what would you like to know? What would you like to hear? What would make you feel comfortable to rule for Nathan on his case against somebody else? So, any documentation you can find makes the judge feel more comfortable. Example, if you have a contract, if you don't, if you have emails, if you have receipts, if you have invoices, if you have proof, written proof of the deal, the contract, then I'm the judge. I'm starting to feel more comfortable with you. I see that you've got something in writing here, and what's the problem? You're not getting paid. Then I want to know, did you perform the work? And so you need some proof that you performed the work. Maybe some pictures, maybe some invoices, maybe receipts, maybe witnesses, maybe a detailed accounting to the court. This is the work I performed on this date, this date, this date. Am I helping you?
Yes.
Okay, so that you want to make the judge feel comfortable, and so you're going to look for the documentation. Where judges start to feel uncomfortable is you got some documentation, but it's a he said deal.
Right.
You know, yes, I did, no, you didn't. Yes, I did, no, you didn't. So judges look for something to confirm one side's position. And, you know, Brad, that's pretty much how you approach it there.
Okay, and, so if I was to put together a folder, and the first thing in the folder is my contract with the party that I'm the plaintiff, That's my contract. And then the second part of it would be the invoice that the plaintiff has, the invoice for $740. That would be page number two. And then on top of that, maybe the 12 estimates that I wrote, I could, you know, at least show that, hey, I completed the work and it's been done. And then emails. I have a string of emails, conversation between, you know, myself and the plaintiff of, hey, when are we going to get paid here? We haven't been paid. It's been over 60 days, and you said 30 days, and we're still not paid. Putting it all together kind of in a folder, maybe highlighting some areas, that would be a good, clear way to be able to just show that, to give that to the magistrate and say, this is my case.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, and by the way, it's the defendant. You're the plaintiff. You'll be what you do with the defendant. And I think it's
okay.
Yeah. And I think it's essential that you do it exactly the way you said. You start out saying, this is my contract, this is the work I did, and this is where I sent the bill. And have they told you a reason why they're not paying?
Yes, they have. They, after I completed the work, they originally, in my contract, it says that after, if I complete the work this week, let's say this coming week,
right.
then the Friday after, I get paid. That's what my contract says. Once I completed the work, I received an email saying, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do that. We have a company policy that says that we will pay on a net 30. So we will pay 30 days after you've completed the work.
But your contract says otherwise.
Correct.
Okay, so you're on the right track. We got some more advice for you. We got to go, but I'm going to put you on hold, give Kevin your information, and we'll finish it up. But you're on the absolute right track with the court, okay?
We'll call you this week and get you all set up. We'll even look at your presentation.
Yeah, we'll look at your presentation for you, Nathan.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so I'm going to put you on hold, all right?
Okay.
Thank you for the call. The Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell & Pollock. We are accident and injury attorneys, but in this radio show, we're here to help you. Been doing it for a long time. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Get a free copy of our book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run, Workers' Compensation Right, and our other book, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim, because we are your champions of the people.